Yeah, do it. Do the beat. Do the beat. Yo, yo, what's up, Vancouver? This is the Briggs, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM.
Wow.
Hello, people of CITR and Canada and Vancouver, British Columbia. This is weekly punk rock show. We all fall down on 101.9 FM in Vancouver, British Columbia. As I said before, this is a very good coincidence. We are in Canada. Hello. My name is Tim and welcome to this radio show, my friends. Super excited to be here. Let me tell you what... Let's start the shows. I just went to some punk rock shows last weekend, and in the end of previous show I told you that I'll try to do 6 shows in 6 days, and I did not complete the mission. Anti-success. I went to only to 4 shows out of 6, but still I had so much fun, and today's episode will be the result, one of those concert shows. The first show I went was Strung Out on July 19th on Thursday. The band played 2 of their albums back to back. It was fantastic. After that, Friday, it was July 20th, I went to see The Spits. Brilliant. First time seeing the band. It was really, really, really great fun. I had a great time there. Met one of the regular listeners, Ted. It was really nice to meet Ted, and we spent lots of time talking. He's originally from China. He told me a little bit about Chinese punk scene. Great fun. And The Spits, they were unbelievable. Then I skipped the Santa Fe show, the book launch from Chris Walder's book. I was just extremely tired, and that day we went to Hot Solano festival, but there were some music bands playing, and I finally saw the Ballantines, local band. They were very, very good. And Liquor Kings, local rock and roll punk rock bands, and Sonardwar there. He was always legendary, as always. He introduced the Liquor Kings at one of the stages. Again, very, very good. On Sunday, it was a brilliant show. Teenage Bottle Rocket, The Dopamines, Isotopes, and Elway played at the venue. And on Monday, I went to see the Bouncing Souls and the Menzingers. The Menzingers were unbelievable. And also Luther. Yeah, that's how you pronounce the band. This was another opening band playing. Another great show. Today's radio show and episode will be based around my interview with John Lewis of the band The Dopamines. They played on Sunday with the Teenage Bottle Rocket. The Dopamines lately, probably in past couple of years, been one of my favorite bands which I was really, really into, and it was really great honor for me to talk to the guys and do the interview with John Lewis. I invited John Lewis and Mikey Erg. Mikey is a tour guitarist of the band of the Dopamines. So I invited them over for lunch. We had some nice chicken food, because Mike eats only chicken. And after that, we had a conversation. It turned out to be a pretty, very interesting interview. Really, both guys were unbelievably funny, interesting, and cool. And yeah, so I play you this interview. It's mostly interview with John Lewis of the Dopamines, and then Mike Yerk says a couple of things, but that was great fun. Anyhow, I opened this block of this episode with the Dopamines, with their song called Operate. That was a song from their EP, which came out back in 2009, and the name of the EP was Soap and Lamp Shades. Okay, yeah, that was the name of the EP, and the song was Operate. Let me play a couple of new Dopamine songs. The song from their new album. I got the vinyl of this brilliant record called Vices, and I would like to play you the first track of it called You're So Vain 2. I guess it's part 2 or something. Anyhow, let's listen, and then I will play you the interview with John Lewis of the Dopamines. And for now, the Dopamines, You're So Vain, from their new album Vices. Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to CITR on 101.9 FM in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. We're also available everywhere in the world on CITR.ca. We just heard a couple of songs from Dopamines, from their brand new album called Vices. But first of all, I'd like to thank my regular listeners. I just received two phone calls, one from regular listener Odd, who is a solo artist, and he does his his punk rock music. He does everything by himself, records everything by himself, and he just called me and asked me for my address because he has something, some new album to send to me, so I'm really excited to hear that. Thanks for listening, Odd. And then the second call was from my Polish friend, who is also a regular listener of the show, and he gave me some positive criticism, and I really, really appreciate that. He has an opinion that, you know, the nowadays bands, they are not really punk rock, and the punk rock was originally when it was started, 60s and 80s, and I totally agree, I totally respect when it, all this stuff started. Those were the real punk bands. The stuff I play on my show is, you know, we kind of call it pop punk, with a little bit of humor and, you know, self-criticism and self-humor, I think, is a very important part of it. But, you know, I still have all the respect for all those great bands like GBH and Exploited, and I love them, and those bands started the punk rock, and thanks to them, without those bands, we wouldn't be sitting here. But we are here, listen to pop punk. Thank you for all your calls, thank you, thanks to all the regular listeners who listen to the shows and share the feedback. It's super important to me. I really appreciate your all your feedback and your calling and listening to radio show. Let me quickly tell you the songs I've played for you. That was the band called Dopamines. The Dopamines are from Cincinnati, Ohio. They released their brand new album on the record label called It's Alive Records, and that's their third studio album. They play pop punk, and they're not ashamed of it. And so we just heard the first three songs of their brand new album called Vices. We heard a song called You're So Vain Part 2. And then we heard the song Useless, and the last track was called Heads Up Dusters. I interviewed John Lewis, who is a guitarist and a singer and a songwriter for most of the songs of this band. John is super, super nice guy and new friend. And let me play you my interview, first part of the conversation, our conversation with John. I think it's a pretty good conversation, and there's some humor and some fun parts. I hope you will enjoy it. So let's listen. This is John Lewis from Dopamines talking about a new album and the band. Your brand new album is called Vices and came out on It's Alive Records. Usually with the band, when recording their new album, they say it's the best thing they ever put and all that stuff. But you, John, when you talked to Chris from Life is a Party podcast, you said that this album is not as good as they expect the worst and people won't like it as much. Why do you think so, and how has been the reaction so far?
Well, everyone's been really, really nice to the record, which is awesome. I think I was so critical of it only because we got to do whatever we wanted for Vices, whereas in Expect the Worst, we were pushed a lot. Like, we were pushed to, like, you know, challenge ourselves or come up with new ideas and stuff. With Vices, we just came in and did it. So, like, it was done, and I was like, it didn't feel like as much work. So I think in turn, I had just kind of, like, been like, well, it's not as good because, you know, I could have been better because of this, this, or this. But in reality, you know, I guess I have to kind of rescind because, I mean, finally listening to the record, I mean, it's a good record. It was a fun record to fucking do. It was the easiest, most, like, party, you know, booze-fueled, you know, just laid-back recording session we've had in a long time, which was great. It's just, it felt so abnormal of a recording experience than Expect the Worst. So I think, and I'm always real self-deprecating. I'm really hard on myself. So I'm like, oh, these songs could have been better. I know they could have been better because of this or that, but in reality, I mean, the record's fine. It doesn't stray too far of what we do anyway. Like, it's different in that it, you know, it's a little more challenging for people. People are talking about how it's a grower for them, and it's not as easy to just put on and love immediately, which is great that people are, you know, like us enough to give us a shot than to just, you know, listen to it and just, you know, throw it off as, you know, a bunch of filler, which we constantly talk about on that record, a bunch of filler, but it's got, you know, 10
stories. Like, 10
stories, absolutely. And that song I wrote right after Expect the Worst was recorded. So that song's really old. Mm-hmm. That, Paid in Full, like, there's so many good songs. Both John's songs, Useless and Kitchen Cleaners, are two of his best songs. Like, every time we do a record, like, he outdoes himself with with what he writes and puts together. And a lot of times I don't get to hear what he has until it's almost time to record, because he takes a little time to get his lyrics done. He's a little self-conscious about how he writes and how he puts shit together. So I don't get to hear it until like way late. So it's like hearing a song that isn't our song, because I've never heard it or experienced it or learned it completely or heard all the vocals and stuff. So yeah, like in actuality, it's an awesome record. I wish there were more tracks on it, I guess, is what my biggest problem. It was only 10 tracks, and I wanted it to be like 12-track record. And of course, we gave the song Business Papers, the Larry Livermore comp. There's a song that's called Douglas Bubble Trousers on the Split With Dear Landlord. There's a song that we learned but didn't record, and then of course recorded a Guided by Voices cover.
Yeah, I had a question, like, because I read about it, but is it coming out? Like,
what? What it's probably going to come out on is eventually, like, if things slow down for us a little bit as far as activity, we may kind of go into the direction of putting out a compilation record. We have a lot of unreleased material, mm-hmm. and I'd really like to like touch on it with have a big Bible of liner notes of all these unreleased songs, and some of the stuff that was released and how it ties in, and stuff that was from Vice's sessions and Expect the Worst session, Soap and Lampshades. We have all these songs that no one's ever heard, old demos and shit like that.
Short attention
demos.
I have those five.
Yeah, I just got those back recently. I didn't have them. I got them. Our old drummer Matt gave me a CD with a whole bunch of old demos that I didn't have on my computer. But yeah, going back 10 stories, I wish it was just longer. I think that's what I think if I had had my way, or if I had, we should, I'm glad it was 10, an LP, but it would have been like a great, like 6-7 song EP.
Yeah.
Really solid. I think there's some songs that people have to learn to love, which is, I'd rather be loved immediately, but like 10 stories, Paid in Full.
Yeah.
Fuck, what else is on that
first
record?
One.
Oh yeah, You're Ruining or You're, yeah, no, no, yeah. It's You're So Vain Part 2.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That song, it's a lot of, it was fun writing all that shit. Yeah. It's good. Vices, I love that song.
Yeah. You mentioned that the reception was so far good, and I know that your parents a big part of your, your view, and even that your dad comes out on the release show and buys everyone drinks.
What? Wait, who is that? Maybe it's John's uncle. I think it's John Weiner's. Did John Weiner's dad? Did anyone's parents ever buy us drinks?
No.
My dad doesn't do that.
No, because I think...
My dad used to come to my old... I was in an old band called Black Tie Bombers, and he used to come out and watch me play all the time and buy me drinks and shit, but... They come to the release shows and come and hang out, but I know that John Weiner has family that comes and, they're drinking, partying, having a good time. My parents are a little more subtle. My mom will have a couple beers, and my dad will, just kind of enjoy the... My dad doesn't drink anymore, so...
And recently, speaking of parents, that you got your Cincinnati Entertainment Award for the best punk band.
Yeah.
Was it a big impressive fact for them?
I guess. I mean, we've been nominated for that shit for years, and we've never won.
Is it serious? The red carpet, yeah, you have to do the speech?
Yeah, you do. I had to give a speech. I had to do it alone because John was working and Michael was late, so I had to go up and get the award, and I don't even remember what I said. I probably said some stupid shit, but it was fun. It's where all the bands come and hang out and all that stuff, but it's really more of a popularity contest within Cincinnati, and I don't think that we're as received as well in Cincinnati as a lot of the other local artists. So this year, I think it was just because there wasn't a whole lot of other punk bands doing much. It was like Vacation, which is a great punk band from Cincinnati, and Frankel Project. I'm trying to remember who else is on it, like Loudmouth, this band, Situation Red, like all awesome bands, all veterans. And we've been up for it for years, but when we had the most activity and we were accomplishing the most we've ever accomplished, we were never won that award. Like, it had nothing to do with, your accomplishments. It was more of, how many votes you could get by, how many people you were friends with got one. And then we did get one, and it was awesome. And it was like, oh, cool. It was really cool to have. I don't have it. John has it. I want to hopefully win another one so I can have one, maybe even another. Hopefully, because we were supposed
really
to.
Didn't give you three.
Well, the thing is they say that if you get one, you can buy more. Oh. So I tried to contact him, and no one will get back to me. So I'm going to keep, I'm glad you said that, because that's reminding me. I'm going to go contact him and be like, give me my fucking gold record. Because John's got mine, and it just sits in the corner of his room or something. But I really want to be. I have an empty spot on my wall. It would be cool to put it up. I don't put up a lot of dopamine stuff in my apartment, so it'd be cool. It was a cool accomplishment. It was cool to be recognized by a city that really.
Yeah.
Doesn't really give a shit about us for the most part. But yeah, tough.
You also mentioned the song Business Papers for the compilation, The Thing That Ate Larry Livermore.
Yes.
And I know that, like, I don't know how often it is, but it looks like it's a few songs for you that was collectively written, like, all from all of you?
Yes, well, I wrote all the lyrics for it. Mm-hmm. And
but musically, I read that you said that it's like it took all three of you to actually...
Yeah, absolutely, because, you know, I came in with the main riff and, like, some vocals. And, like, the chorus, the little la-la-la part, that just came because I was trying to come up with a melody, and that was the melody, but I was using the word la to, like, put it on wax I could find lyrics for it, and ended up just staying that way. But, like, you know, John had great bass lines in that song. Michael's drum part in that song, like, I mean, the song would have never turned out the way it did without John and Michael, like, finishing it, like, you know, bringing something to it that I couldn't bring to it. I couldn't bring that drum part. I couldn't suggest that, you know. And, you know, John's just always good at just, like, surrounding, like, he's good at just absorbing all of the information that's right there and then just, you know, writing a good bass line. You know, he loves his bass nice and loud, so it's good that he's a good bassist. So, but he wrote, yeah, he did fucking great. All three of us, music-wise, it was great. Lyrically, I mean, if it's a song that John sings, John writes 100% of the lyrics, you know. That's how it's always been. We've written music together, like, started with nothing and created something a few times, but it's few and far between. Most of the time someone comes in with something and we all work around it, or someone comes in with sometimes I'll come in with stuff that's 100% complete and it's like, let's do it. This is the song, this is how it's played, and you know, it doesn't deviate too much. But Business Papers, man, the power that song has is like just as much not more than music as the lyrics, because the lyrical content's pretty straightforward and blunt.
Was the song specifically written for the compilation, or was it part of Vices?
Yeah, well, it was in my head in Vices, or during Vices, but we kind of, like, we gave ourselves enough time to prepare for it, but then we kind of didn't at the same time. We kind of left some things that we maybe should have worked on, and we didn't do them. Business Papers was one of, like, it was just in, like, its origin stage, but I remember in the studio I wanted to, like, learn it and record it, like, in that session, like, really, but, like, you know, I maybe had mentioned it once, but once we got home, it was like we recorded it in Cincinnati. It was like one of four songs that Dope Music have ever recorded that weren't in Cincinnati. Well, one of three songs that came out as an official, like, vinyl release. Mm-hmm. The other one, the Dear Landlord split, we did in Cincinnati, and Business Papers we did in Cincinnati. But everything else we've done with our friend Matt Yonker in Nashville. He runs the Drastic Sound Studios, and he was also the drummer of the Teen Idols, and manages Less Than Jake now to the sound for him. Uh-huh. So he's busy dude. He finds time to let a couple of drunks come in and play shitty music. But yeah, Business Papers, fucking everyone brought it.
And now my foot is up and makes a
Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to the radio station CITR on 101.9 FM in Vancouver, British Columbia. And this is weekly punk rock show, We All Fall Down. We just heard a song called Business Papers by the band called The Dopamines from the compilation The Thing That Ate Letty Livermore. That was the first part of my interview with John Lewis, who is guitarist and singer of the band. And he mostly talked about their brand new album called Vices. Let's move on to the part number two, which is mostly about band's previous and second studio album called Expect the Worst. So let's listen. This is John Lewis of the Dopamines, and he's talking a lot about their brilliant album called Expect the Worst. Let's go back a little bit and talk about Expect the Worst. This album was released on Paper and Plastic Records, and in April, the punknews.org, they did the April's full thing about this album. Could you please tell a little bit the story? Because I don't know where it came from. I know only like just the final result.
Yeah, so it's funny. We just talked about this the other day with Michael. We were like regaling it to someone else. But yeah, it was Expect the Worst had come out. And I think punknews.org, I don't know if this is fact, but what I thought was that they wanted final copies of the record to review. And I think Vinny either only sent a digital, like, or not Vinny, but Exit 384 Media or Southern Lovin', who was doing them for the time, I think they only sent them digital, and they're like, we would really love a physical copy of the record. And I think that they maybe only got the CD, and like they just, I guess, like they just forgot to review it and just never did. And apparently, like, I know that I contacted someone like, hey, you want to review our record? Like, you know, it's been out for a while. It'd be awesome to hear you guys review it. And then I think Vinny talked to him a couple times. And then, like, people, I think users of the website that have you know, handles on the website were messaging like, no, Expect the Worst, no, Expect the Worst. So this went on for over almost a year. So I got to the point where I guess it was pretty premeditated that they were like, all right, we're not going to review this record at all, no matter how much people ask us to do it, until, and then develop this April Fool's joke where they're like, all right, people have been asking us so much that we're going to just put out, you know, 18 reviews. There was like 10 or 12 reviews. And, you know, they're all some good, some bad, some funny, some, you know, making fun of us.
There was one like in like, you know, the poem,
haiku.
The haiku,
yeah. Video. There's a video review of I can't remember who did it, but
Adam.
It was Adam, and he just reviewed the packaging of the CD, so it was funny. It was really flattering, like, you know. Of course.
But like, did you see that coming? Or was
we had no clue. I woke up on April 1st, and I went to work, and I was just like print screening all this shit and throwing it, because I keep a file of all the reviews, all the press we get, just for a personal record. So I'm sitting here like, what the hell, like all day, all these fake news stories about Dopamines, and one of them was real. It's that our drummer got arrested. And so everyone thought it was fake because they were putting out these fake news stories. Like, one of them was that we were Screeching Weasel's new backing band, and Ben Weasel doesn't like us, so like that was
funny. What the hell?
That Weasel Radio.
Yeah.
Weasel Radio got a copy of our self-titled record, and they weren't necessarily mean to the record. They were just really mean to John Weiner. They were like, this guy, they said he couldn't sing. And then Ben made a comment like, if I was young and drank beer and hung out in basement shows, I would like this record, which is a complete compliment to our record, to us in general. But they were like, you know, they were kind of hating on it a little bit. John took it very personally, because they were attacking and telling him he couldn't sing and stuff. So that was when Ben was still on the Pop Punk board. So of course, John starts a flame war with Ben, or back in the day had a back and forth. So then, you know, Ben just completely wrote us off, just hated us after that, because everyone was back and forth on it. But I've talked to Ben since. I wanted to use that sound clip from that episode for Expect the Worst somewhere. There was a song about like us sucking or something. I Expect the Worst. I can't remember which song it was, or some tongue in cheek song. And I wanted to put it on there. I messaged Ben, and he was like, you know, what's the point? Like, it's not relevant anymore. Like, to put that on there wouldn't prove or solve or answer anything. I was like, yeah, you're right, but we didn't want to do it to like make you look bad, just because we thought it was funny. Because he paid us a compliment that he wasn't giving us a compliment, but he did, because he's like, you know, we were drunks that liked to hang out at basement shows, and you know, we were young, so it was cool. But yeah, that was the whole story behind that. And then the April Fool's thing, it was so flattering. Like, they knew we would take it, you know, because it was like, it was funny, but it was like taking a shot at us too. But we, you know, that's what we do. We take shots at everybody. So,
did you feel like that gave you not popularity kick, but something like gave you a little bit more?
People are like, some people were like, I don't know who this band is or why this is funny that this is happening on April Fool's. I don't understand this April Fool's joke because I've never heard this band.
Uh-huh.
You know, or I'm sure a few hundred people decided to check us out that day, which is awesome. No bad press. What is the euphemism?
No such thing
as bad press. And it wasn't bad press anyway. It's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, it was funny.
So it definitely, I'm sure it helped. I'm sure it moved a couple of records, got a few new listeners.
There's on the expected verse, there's a brilliant song called Cincinnati Harmony, and that's one of my favorite songs by the Dopamines. Could you please tell, is there a specific story which has influence on the lyrics?
When I got laid off in 2008 from my desk job that I thought I wasn't going to lose, I was young and didn't know that you could get laid off from a job. I got laid off, and so I had nothing. Like, I was collecting unemployment, and I needed a job. So I started working at a pizza place with John Weiner that he worked at. So we were both working there together. And our boss, she would always talk about, like, you know, how much she makes in the year, every year, and how, like, she'd take her kids, like, to Europe for soccer camp and all this shit. She'd just talk about all this shit, all this money she had, all these things she did, and how cool, like, you know, what a great person she was, like, how much money she had. Really bugged the shit out of me because she managed a pizza place. So it really bugged the fucking shit out of me. So, like, you know, it wasn't necessarily about my boss. It was just about, like, people who really enjoy, like, you know, I'm flipping pizzas, and I'm delivering pizzas, and I'm making nothing. And I have a boss at a pizza place that is telling me how much better her life is than mine. Not intentionally, but, you know, like, there are people like that who love to talk about how, you know, they're doing very well. And they only ask you how you're doing just so that they're only asking you a question so they can give you their answer. They don't care about your answer. Like, you know, they're only asking it so that they can tell you the great news that they just got. They just got promoted or this.
Uh-huh.
So, like, it's a song about that, about, you know, being somebody who is struggling and having to, like, meet people. It's almost like if you went to a high school reunion and if I went to my high school reunion and I was delivering pizzas and people were asking me how I did, like, it's almost like they just want to ask just to see how bad I'm doing so they can tell me how much better they're doing than I am. It's kind of like that. Like, that's pretty much exactly what that song, that's what that song's about. Like, it was an easy song to write at the time.
Another song is called Glendora House, and I heard, I'm not sure if it's true, but there are actually three Glendora houses.
Yeah, there is. There was the third and final Glendora house was the one that John Weiner lived in. And he wasn't the first to live in that final one either. There's a stretch of road, it's Glendora, it's in like the college district of, just outside the college district of Cincinnati, like the college area. And like one of them used to be behind the big venue, like where, you know, bands like NoFX, Lagwagon, you know, would play. Like there was one there, and they would have shows in that basement. And I started hanging out with those people that lived there. I was in a band with I was the same band, Black Tie Bombers, with the guy who lived in that house, my friend Sam. And that house closed down. They just moved out. You know, you're done with college, or everyone's moving out, moving with girlfriends and shit. So that closed. So then our friend Trevor Spaulding, everyone kind of knows him in the pop punk community, at least on the pop punk board. Like it's Trevor. I think like a friend Mike Saylor, like Mr. Tom Schmidlin from Team Stray. I think he may or may not have lived there. I might just be making this up. But they all lived at Glendora. I think was next door to the one that John ended up living in. So they lived in this Glendora house. They had shows there. Or maybe they didn't. I don't know. They might not have had shows. And they moved to the one next door. They started having shows. And then John moved in. Like they moved out, or there was a transition of roommates. And then John moved in with a bunch of his college friends. And then that's the one that I'm most familiar with, was because, you know, everyone from Gaslight Anthem, Tim Barry, you know, Off of Their Heads, Copyrights, the Apers, you know, the one year of the Insubordination Fest, that was a stop on the way to Insubordination Fest for every band that wasn't, for a lot of the bands that weren't. Like we had John threw a fest one day for all that, and that was right when Dope Means started. Like we didn't play that show because we weren't ready yet, but like that house is the reason that like we were able to tour so easily in the beginning, because John had made all these contacts. He knew everybody. Like, you know, he knew Fletcher from Copyrights. You know, I've always known Ryan from Off of Their Heads, and you know, we've met a whole bunch of people, and you know, we got like sucked into the scene before we were even, you know, a completed, you know, our first demo. So it was very easy for us to like kind of just hop on board and ride the coattails of that scene. It was fun. It was really awesome there. Everyone was really cool to let us kind of crash the party.
I think it's funny that coincidentally there were three Glendora houses and there's three versions of the song.
Yeah, there is. There's
demo, your demo version, and then and short attention.
Short attention's version. Yeah. That's funny. That's a weird. That's a weird pair up. That's awesome.
Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to the radio station CITR from Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and we are also available on the internet. The website is citr.ca. Today, I'm playing you the interview with John Lewis of the band called Dopamines. This is a pop-punk band from Cincinnati, Ohio. Their last album came out on It's a Life record, and it's called Vices. And the last part of the interview was mostly focused around the band's previous studio album called Expect the Worst, which came out on Paper and Plastic Records. We heard a couple of songs. We heard three versions of the song called Glendora House, and I just played three same songs. because they're super short, so I hope I didn't offend anyone. And before that, we heard a song called Cincinnati Harmony. It's about, that was the song which Chen was talking about, and he was working at the pizza place, and the owner of the place just wanted to let everyone know that she was better than her employees. And that was the song about it. I think it's a pretty common situation. I have worked at places when, you know, the people who were just above you in, you know, in this company structure or whatever you like to call it, they were just really, they really loved the experience of sharing their employees that they're so much better than their employees. Even they were not, they were probably on a safe social level. But that happens. So that's why, you know, I like this song. It's a funny and truthful song in some part. Okay, let's move on to the final part of our interview with John. It will be just mostly about everything about the band and about a little bit about his life and his music taste and things like that. Let's move on. Part three of my interview with John Lewis from the Dopamines, pop punk band from Cincinnati, Ohio. You mentioned Black Tie Bombers, and you also were part of Ukraine Crane.
Yeah.
Yeah, this. And
that's how I met John.
Yeah. And I know that Ukraine Crane played a reunion show in 2009 at the festival.
Cincy Punk Fest.
And then other plans to do a Black Tie Bombers something?
I don't know. We always bullshit about it like it would be fun to do it. Black Tie Bombers actually got together, like, back together while the Dopamines are around. After Matt left Dopamines, he started Black Tie Bombers again with all the original members, because the one member shifted. The last record didn't have Sam, or my friend Sam Lindor. Mm-hmm. He wasn't on the last record, but he was on the first two. And then our Josh, who was on the third record, he moved to Philly, I think. He moved to Pennsylvania somewhere. And they actually got back together. They played a couple shows, and then that was it. It was weird. It was like, and you know, of course, the singer of Mixtapes, Ryan Rockwell, is the singer of Black Tie Bombers. And I, you know, just, you know, since then, you know, Matt and I are friends again. And Ryan and I have always, you know, Mara and I have always been, you know, friends, or have always been acquainted since we've been in bands together. So, like, we always bullshit about it. Like, yeah, it'd be funny if we did it, but we're not sure if anyone would care. I mean, I guess now maybe people would care a little more, because, like, it would just be billed as Dopamine's Mixtapes old band. So, yeah. Like, maybe people would care. Like,
no, actually, that's how, you know, there's a website called Dying Scene.
I saw that.
That's how they build it.
It's fucked up. I was really flattering, though, because that last Black Tie Bombers record I thought was great. And, you know, we were unknown then. Like, we did, like, one tour with the Queers, and then it was over. Like, I still have hundreds of Black Tie Bombers CDs in my parents' basement. I'd consider bringing them on tour just to slap a Dopamine's Mixtapes, you know, ex-member, you know, ex-band, whatever, just to, you know, get rid of them, since maybe they'll sell with those names on it. But I just, fuck it, they'll just sit there, I'll just give them away, maybe.
And there were three full albums, yeah?
Yeah, there was there was a self-titled album, and then there was one called Art Is Easy, there was Eternal Happiness and Good Health, and there was a split after that with a local band called Frankel Project, and we actually did a hardcore cover of Blister in the Sun, the Violent Femme song, and oh my god, what band were you trying to get me into? Superdrag. You know, their hit.
Who sucked out
the feeling. Yeah, we did a cover of that too.
That's pretty awesome.
I know, I had it on my phone. I wish I had my iPod, wouldn't have died, I would have let you hear it. But yeah, we did a split with this band, Frankel Project, and did a great job. And they covered one of our songs, which is pretty cool. I think it was good. It was like an acoustic split.
And for Ukraine Crane, there's only one release.
There's two. There's one called Ukraine Crane Buys Out Your Birthday. Neither of these had an official release. We recorded them though. The first one was Ukraine Crane Buys Out Your Birthday, and then the second one was called The White Parade. My Chemical Romance, was it the Black Parade?
Yeah,
we have one called The White Parade. Kind of racist. But yeah, they never got an official release or artwork or anything, but both of them are, you know, decent records. I wish I have them, but like, I wish I had them on me. I'd give you copies of them. They're hilarious. I'll send them to you.
I have one, but
you do?
One the MP3s.
Oh, you do? You have one of the Ukraine? I wonder which one it is.
John put it on.
Oh really? Yeah, I don't remember which one that was. That's awesome.
Yeah, and then I have three Black Tie.
Do you have all the Black Tie Bombers?
Yeah, three. I don't have this plate you were talking about.
Yeah, I'll see if I can. I'll mail one to you.
Yeah,
I have a whole bunch in my parents' basement, in the archive, as I call it, or the Dopamines, my musical library, like musical history, is in an archive in my parents' basement, like a bunch of chests and bins.
I know that the bands you always
been in as a member, you always try to play relatively close to the audience, but there was one show with Black Time Bombers when you had to play the Insane Clown Posse.
Yeah.
And you had to play miles away from the crowd. Tell me about this crazy story.
Yeah, okay. So ICP, who I can honestly say that I was once a fan of, and I was listening to ICP on one of the drives on this tour. Every once in a while, I'll go on the way back, take a lackadaisical ride on the way back, my way back. What's that called? Back in the daysicle. And I'll, their record, The Wraith Hell's Pit, just dropped, and they were doing a listening party tour before they did the official tour. So they had, like, you know, a bunch of artists, and they also had a wrestling thing. They're JCW, Juggalo, JC Juggalo something, Championship Wrestling. So... Bogart's is a venue in Cincinnati. It's a typical big venue. It holds a 1,000 or so people. So, you know, there's a stage, much like the venue here, like a really tall stage. And connected to the stage, the end of the stage, had this metal ramp that went to a wrestling ring. So there was the stage, this metal ramp, a wrestling ring, a barricade, and then the crowd. All of which hated us. They all hated us. So we're playing to a crowd that's fucking, like... 25, 30 yards away from us, and they're just throwing shit at us. So a lot of times, I've seen ICP live once, and the opening bands always get booed off stage. Sure. The Juggalos fucking do not like anything but psychopathic record shit. Whatever. Which isn't true, but maybe I'll tell that story later. But so we're playing, and we're like, hey, if people are throwing shit at us, we're gonna play a whole set no matter what. So we start egging them on, like trying to get them to throw weird shit, and we're like, you know, change is all you got. They're throwing change. Fucking batteries started flying on stage. Like, said, I bought like a case of Faygo, and I started kicking Faygo out to the crowd. Yeah. It was a great time, you know, and met Violent J and Shaggy, and they were super nice. And I mean, I know it's totally not okay to like ICP, especially as someone who's in a punk band and listens to punk music, but you know, it is what it is. Like, I think the Wraith Shangri-La is a totally serviceable record. I don't like it. It doesn't hold up for me anymore. But I could never deny that I was a fucking Juggalo for a little bit, a punk Juggalo, a punkalo.
John Viner, we talked a little bit about Black Time Bombers and the Ukraine band, and John Viner, he was in those bands, which I never heard of, I just read about it, the Elmos, and which became Ain't No Cabaret.
This Ain't No Cabaret, yeah.
Is it, are there recordings, and is it worth listening?
Yeah, I have demos, actually. Fuck, I should send you these demos, too. Like, I wish I had my iPod with me, we would listen to all of it. Like, our drummer Matt recorded, like, on a 16-track or an 8-track. This Ain't No Cabaret is like demo recording or just like a recording. I mean, there's some good songs in there. I mean, they're recorded at the quality of an 8-track tape machine, but there's some songs that are really good. You just hear a little John Weiner belting out vocals. And the Elmos, I didn't know John when he's in the Elmos, but I was the transition when I met John Weiner when he started going. He like came to some Black Tie Bomber shows, or we played with the Elmos, or we played with This Ain't No Cabaret. I can't remember. I know we played a show together where that started, and then Ryan started Ukraine Crane, asked me to be in it, asked John to be in it, our friend Nick Turner, and our friend Eric ended up playing horns, our friend Tim, like, they all knew each other. I knew Ryan, and I came in to meet all, you know, I ended up being friends with all of them through Ryan. Like, music opportunities I've had to, like, meeting Ryan, like, for the first time and joining, like, I was in a band with Ryan called Random Heroes before Black Tie Bomber.
Oh, what's the name again?
Random Heroes.
Okay, is there any recordings?
Yeah, there's one. It's actually pretty good. We recorded with Royce Nunley from the Suicide Machines. What they did, I wasn't on that recording, but Black Tie Bombers recorded with Royce in Detroit all the first two records. The third one we recorded with this guy, Eric Tuffinson, who records all the mixtape stuff. So all the mixtape stuff is done by the same guy who did the last Black Tie Bombers record. So yeah, like Elmos, I don't know if they have a recording. This Ain't No Cabaret definitely has it, and I definitely own it. I have your email, so I'll get all of them off my hard drive, and I'll send you all this and listen to it.
You also, when I just mentioned that I'm from CITR and like to do the interview, you said that you like CITR. How do you know about the station?
Oh, like, just what Nardwar, do you like? Nardwar? Oh, huge Nardwar nut. Like, I love listening to all those interviews and shit. I love the Evaporators, and I like it when fucking artists get real shitty and shitty with them and stuff and don't get it, you know, like
Slipknot.
I haven't heard. He interviewed Slipknot.
Yeah, and they didn't.
I heard the Travis Barker one, the Transplants one. Yeah. That was fucking hilarious. It's like, come on, like no one has a sense of humor. No one has like, take yourself too fucking seriously. Like it's Nardwar, for God's sakes. Like, be thankful that someone is digging deep to fucking find like the questions you've been asking are just totally deep. Like you're like digging, they're really cool questions, and like I totally represents like. That whole station, like I love Nardwar. He's such a fucking nut. I love it.
Yeah, he is like a hero.
So. Yeah, oh, he is. And his interviews are so good. Like he digs, he finds shit that like even the people he interviews don't remember. Like like just crazy references. It's insane. He's a well of knowledge. But yeah, that's where my knowledge of the radio station comes from. This through him.
And the final question I always like to ask, because I'm always on lookout for the new music, what have you been listening lately? Something, maybe some bands, some albums, not necessarily something recent, but something you've been listening in advance.
Lipstick Homicide, I guess, is a punk band, but they just toured with us before we got picked up with TBR. They're great. Fucking recently we played with Old Wives for a couple days. That band's awesome.
From Edmonton?
Yeah, I think they're great. Like they're really cool. What have I been listening to lately? Fuck, I just fucking Torch's new record I think is fucking amazing. Cody just told me to listen to a record. I can't remember what it was, but I just listened to it. It was fucking amazing.
You should have the Tragedy, right?
Tragedy. It was like 2002, an old Tragedy record.
Oh, like
Vengeance. And like, yeah. I realized that I had already heard it, but I've been rediscovering a lot of metal. Beatles, I don't know. Metal and Beatles.
Metal
and Beatles is what I've been listening to lately. Lipstick Homicide, you know, honestly, I would pick up fucking Thing That Ain't Larry Livermore. That's a very, very, very good representation of what's
every good band. Every good band right now.
Yeah. I don't know. I discovered The Measure not too long, like a little over a year ago. I'm still obsessed with The Measure right now. A band that Mikey.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and me and that's why I started like getting hooked up with Lauren Measure and her artwork and stuff, and interviewing her and stuff.
Yeah, awesome.
Man, what else have I been listening to? The new Toys That Kill record is fucking amazing. It was a grower for me because it sounded a lot like Underground Railroad to Candyland, who I love, but. I always want there to be a separation between those two bands and the production level, and he used some underground, like those songs are all, you know, it's like what is more appropriate for what band, but it's all very similar, but the production was very Underground Railroad, so for a second I was like, oh, like, you know, and then I got over very quickly because it's an amazing record, and it's actually production's perfect, like it couldn't have sounded any better, like
exactly.
I was so critical of it, like for the first fucking 24 hours I bought the record. But what else just came out was great. I thought the new Anthrax record was good. Everyone makes fun of me. I mean, it's got a little radio ness going on with it, but that was good. What else came out this year that was fucking incredible? Oh, the new One Man Army 7-inch.
You heard it already?
Yeah, it's like I've heard the sampler of it.
Oh, sound.
Okay. Yeah, and that. Well, fuck, man.
I can't wait for that.
God, I can't wait for that to come out. Man, what else has just come out? Like, I had a list of stuff that I needed to buy this year. That the new Mean Jeans record is really good.
Yeah.
That was a good fucking record. I don't know, what else? What have you been listening to?
All that stuff.
Yeah. Just, I don't know, like, metal band. I've been, like, attached at the hip to At the Gates and The Haunted, Disfear. Fucking, I don't know. I've been, like, on a big metal kick lately, so I've been doing that. Fucking Locust is coming out with a compilation. See, I own most of it already, and I like a lot of their later stuff, but it's all really good. You know what record came out a while ago, but I really just started getting attached because they just played Cincinnati. It was Melt Banana, the fucking record Bambi's Dilemma. It's very pop punk. Like, this first half is like poppy, and the second half is like blast grindcore. But yeah, as far as new shit, I think Thing Larry Livermore, you know, the Mean Jeans, One Man Army, when that finally drops, I love fucking Jack. I want to meet that dude, shake that dude's hand. He's good. I guess that's it.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks, Tim.
Hello, 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 this is We All Fall Down on CITR. My name is Tim, and that was the interview with John Lewis of the Dopamines. This whole episode was built about my interview with John. The band just played Vancouver on Sunday with Teenage Bottle Rocket at the venue, and the band released a brand new album in June this year. The name of the album is Vices, and it came out on It's Alive Records. So if you liked John's interview and you liked the music I played, it was all by the Dopamines. pick it up. It's available on the internet and, you know, like the usual places. That's it. That's it. If you like what you heard, you can check out the podcast on CITR.ca. And I also have my blog, wealthfalldowncitr.tumblr.com. I have there all the episodes. I have their pictures. And I also have there the list of upcoming shows in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. That's it. Thank you so much for listening. It was my pleasure. I was super stoked about doing this episode about dopamines because, as I said, I've really been into this band lately and the show was great. So yeah, thanks for listening. And to finish up the things, I'd like to play the final song from Dopamine's new album called 10 Stories. I think, in my opinion, this is the best song on the album, and it's a good song to finish up this episode. So this is 10 Stories by the Dopamines. Bye bye. I'll see you next week and have a great weekend right now and in general.
Now watch me.